Okay, what we pointed out last time was that we have a number of chidushim in the first Mishnah of Perek Elu Naharos, and as Tosis pointed out, each of these chidushim is hinted at by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi with the phrase Habaal, Habaal Hamamzeres Hanasina, that's Chiddush A, Habaal Hagiyores Hashvuya, that's Chiddush B, Habaal Achosov Achosovid, that's Chiddush C. And we pointed out that Chiddush A is that we have the ability of distinguishing between the two consequences of the ones that are found in the Torah. I put the psukim here on the board. So in the first situation, in Sefer Dvarim, when it deals with the ones, with the rapist, it says, V'nosan ha'ish ha'shochev ima l'avia na'ara chamishim kesef, v'lo tiyel isha. Those are the two consequences that we have. That we have a knas, we have a fine of chamishim kesef, and we have a forced marriage that we'll discuss under what circumstances, and we're dealing now with women with whom we have an isur to marry, a mamzeret, a netina, a kutit, and so the Mishnah tells us that even though v'lo tiyeh le'isha is going to fall off, v'chol zot, the chamishim kesef is going to remain. That's the chiddush. Elu na'arot sheish lehem knas. Even in a situation where there's not going to be lo tiyeh le'isha, there's still going to be a knas. That's chiddush number one of the Mishnah. On this is this it revolves the sugya that we're going to learn today, where the Gemara is going to question this assumption. Let's look on daf kaf tesamid beis on the top line. Okay, v'hane v'nei knasa ninhu. Is it really true that the mamzeres, the nesina, and the kutit are going to receive a knas from the ones, from the rapist? Va'amai, ikri kan velo tiyel isha, isha haru'uya lo. What over here is the question of the Gemara? What over here is the question of the Gemara? What's the machokas rishonim over here in terms of how to understand the question of the Gemara? What are two ways of learning this question? Yes, Yitzhak.
They're asking the relationship between the knas and the marriage. Is it something that's directly connected? Are they both? Do they go hand in hand, or are these two consequences separable?
You're correct that that's the framework. But I'm saying in terms of the fact that the Gemara over here is bringing this pasuk, v'lo tiyeh le'isha, and the Gemara is being doresh that we have within this pasuk an implication. Isha haru'uya lo, that one requires a woman who is permitted to be married. And in other words, that would limit the knas. I'm asking within that question itself, what are two ways of learning it? Yes? I'm sorry, Noach?
So maybe whether an asid yochol to say applies here?
You're 100% correct that both Tosfos and Tosfos Reed raise that issue. But I'm asking something much more simple. Yes,
Michael. The Pasuk says that she's a woman that's fitting for to be married. Then why is that we even put her classification of Nei Musa, of someone that is considered there's a kenas involved in it? She is fitting.
More basic. Let me just read for you. What?
Who is the Isha? When it says Isha, who is it referring to?
Not the. Okay. Let me just read for you one line in the Ritva, and then try to tell me what over here are the two options. The Ritva, in his Perush, starts off by saying what we don't learn. Perush, lav de mashma lishna dekra hachi, da-ta-ta-ta-ta. Ela de kaimalan lekaman hachdina, da-ta-ta-ta-ta. I mean, what is the Ritva pointing out over here in terms of the two ways of learning the Gemara? The Ritva says, don't learn one way, learn another way. What is the Ritva telling us? How should we not learn the Gemara? Yes?
That the Isha Ha'ra'uya Lo is not Mashma, it's Mashma.
Okay. In other words, you're giving what the Ritva himself is saying. Namely, there are two ways of understanding this Gemara. One way is literally. Literally, when the Gemara uses the phrase Ikri Kan, the Gemara over here is telling us that we should be medayek in the language of the pasuk. That over here, the pasuk itself, the essence of the terminology of the Torah, is telling us that we're not going to have a knas in a situation where there's going to be a problem within the marriage. Which of these three words is the Gemara being medayek in according to this Perush? Tihiyah. That the word tihiyah implies isha haru'uya lo. That there is over here a permitted marriage. Lo tihiyah le'isha. That this woman is permitted to him. That's the Gemara. That's the way the Rishon is telling us, don't learn that way. Don't learn that over here we're dealing with a diuk in the language of the Torah, namely what we call classically a mi'ut, that we have over here. There's a concept of a ribui. There are certain terms that are used to expand, and then we have mi'utim. There are terms that are used to contract. Don't learn over here that we have a mi'ut, that we have a contraction, that the Torah is telling us, v'lo tiyeh le'isha, only a woman who is permitted to be married, you're going to have a knas. But if we're dealing with a woman who's not permitted to be married, then there's not going to be a knas. The Ritva says, don't learn that way, but rather understand the Gemara in a non-literal manner. That the Gemara over here is bringing in these words as an asmachta, but there is something more basic underlying the question of the Gemara. So let's first understand who learns the way that the Ritva says not to learn. Who learns that we have over here, who learns the Gemara that we have in the word tihiyah is a mi'ut, and then the Gemara is going to have to is going to have to neutralize this mi'ut with ribuyim, with expansions. That we have over here a contraction, and that contraction would go against the Mishnah. The Mishnah is mashma that even a woman who's not permitted to get married, a mamzeret, b'chol zot is going to be a knas, elu na'arot sheish lem knat, ha-mamzeret v'anetina v'chulei. The word tihiyah is a mi'ut, it contracts it. No, only a woman who's allowed to get married. And then the Gemara is going to bring in, but we have words in the pasuk that are marba, that add in, that are going to bring in even the mamzeret, even the da-da-da-da-da. Who learns the Gemara the way the Ritva says not to learn it? That it's all questions of what of diukim in the language of the Torah? The Meiri, yes, and who else? Tosos. The Meiri and Tosos. The core of the Tosos over here is Tosos Yivra Maskil Chad. The Tosfos at the end asks a very powerful question. Tosos, the last four lines. V'im tomar, v'lishtok milo tiyel le'isha, v'lo yitztarech lahane ribuye. Why should the Torah scratch its left ear with its right arm? Why should the Torah go ahead and write a phrase, v'lo tihiyah le'isha, and this phrase is going to put us in a quandary, because this appears to be a contraction, and the Mishnah is an expansion, and so we're going to have to bring in all sorts of ribuyim. Let the Torah simply say, v'ulekacha le'isha. Let the Torah simply use a different phrase, and he should marry her, without the word tihiyah. And then we don't have a riboy, and we don't have a miyud, and we don't need a riboy. Namely, why would the Torah create a problem and then have to answer it with all sorts of additional words, letters, etc., etc.? Tosfos says, let the Torah simply use a parallel phrase that doesn't have the word tihiyah, and then everything is fine and good. You don't need ribuyim, you don't need miyutim. If it simply says, there's no miyut. If there's no miyut, so, in other words, then we would have the knas for all women. There would not be a miut in this pasuk. The whole miut, according to Tosos, comes from the word tihiyah. Tosos asks, let the Torah not write the word tihiyah. That's his question. V'im tomar, lishtok milo tiyeh le'isha. Let the Torah not write that phrase, and then put in, in other words, Tosos implies, and put in a different phrase, v'lo yitztarech l'hani ribuyi, and then we don't need all of the riyim that are in the answer of the Gemara. So what does Tosos answer? V'yeshlamar, the itzterich lemedresh v'lo tihiyah le'isha mida'ata. Tosos points out that the world of the Torah is many, many faceted, many layered, and this phrase, v'lo tihiyah le'isha, is necessary to teach us a different halacha, that this marriage may be imposed on the husband, but tihiyah implies that it has to be with the assent of the woman, that the woman has to want to marry this husband. Tihiyeh, that she's also an active partner. That this is Midata. This is Gemara later on, wrote in the margin of Tosfos, Andaf Lamed Testament base. So we need this phrase. We can't substitute it with a phrase L'kachalisha, because then it would appear to be that everyone's being forced into this marriage. No, that's not true. It means first we need the acquiescence of the woman, Tihiyeh, and if we have Tihiyeh, then we're going to impose it on the husband. Once we have Tihiyeh, but this Tihiyeh also is a miyut, it implies that there has to be a permitted marriage. Then we need the ribuyim. So Tosis over here is balancing between words that expand, words that contract. It's all a question of how to understand the words in the parasha. That's Tosis's approach. And the Meiri simply summarizes this, Lefisha ne'emar velo tiyeh le'isha. We're dealing over here with the terminology. Therefore, the Torah has to come up with different words of ribui to bring back the women who are forbidden into the knas. The Ritva says, don't learn that way. We'll leave off a minute why he says don't learn that way, but how did the Ritva want us to learn? If we're not going to learn the Gemara literally, you know it's the way the Tosas does, Amai ikri kan velo tiyeh le'isha isha haruya lo, that the Gemara is assuming, if we, again, according to Tosfos, the Gemara is read literally. How can the Mishnah tell us that there's a knas on a forbidden marriage? Self called self. The Torah tells us that we need a permitted marriage, velo tiyeh le'isha. If we don't want to learn like Tosfos, that we're being medayik in the language of Tihiyeh, what is the alternative way of learning? What is the Ritva's way of learning? And it's also in another Rishon that's on the page. What's the alternative way of learning?
That's referring to also Chayalan. And not only if...
Sharper. No, it's not a question over here of a diuk in the language of the pasuk, the word Tihiyeh. Even if the Torah would have written L'kacha le'isha, according to this other way of learning, we still would have had the same question of the Gemara. It's not a question of the word Tihiyeh. It's not a miyut and then a ribui that we're dealing over here with the ping pong game that we take one thing off, then we add one thing on. In other words, we're going to have six, and we're going to have four, we're going to have three. In other words, there's a different question over here. The question over here is much more basic. Going back to what Isaac said earlier, that the Gemara over here is working off of an assumption. What assumption is the Gemara working off of? Nothing to do with the language of the pasuk. What broad assumption is the Gemara working off of when we have a situation where the Torah mentions a number of factors in the same parsha?
That they're directly connected.
That they have to be interdependent on one on the other. That we have an assumption that whenever we're going to have whenever the Torah is going to bring in a number of factors, that these factors have to live together one with the other. So if here we have a factor of a fine, and we have a factor of a marriage, forget the language of the pasuk, only when the marriage is going to be permissible, then there's going to be the knas. Not because of something in terms of the terminology of the Torah, but this is a rule. This is a rule in the Torah. This is what the Ritva points out. Mishum dekaimalon lekaman dehochidina. This is an assumption in terms of how to read the Torah. The kol shi asura lo eino rashai lekonsa. Mishum hachi amrinan hachi. The samchinan leyakra. It's just an asmachta. Our Gemara over here should not be read literally. The Gemara is simply telling us that if we're going to have a consequence where only one part is valid, then the whole consequence is going to fall off. That it's a package deal. The assumption is that things are package deals. Where did I send you to in the Maariv Makomos? To another area in the Torah where we have such a package deal. Where we have such a package deal. I sent you to in the world of Avodin. Yes? Excellent. That we have a father who has a daughter who is a ketana. The father has the right, according to the Torah, due to economic circumstances, to sell his daughter into slavery. She's called an Ama Ivriya. The Torah speaks about the fact that the purchaser has the option of yi'ud, of using the money using the money, that he gave the father of the girl to view that as kesef kiddushin, and to marry this ama ivriya, to raise her standing, her status, etc. That's called yi'ud. The question is, can we have an ama ivriya if she is related to the purchaser? Namely, that he can't marry her. Would there still be a parsha of ama ivriya? Can someone buy a little girl as a slave if he can't marry her? So how does the Rambam paskin, according to the Gemara in Kedushin? No, he can't, because it's a package deal. When the Torah is giving us over here that there has to be, the Torah wants to raise this girl's status. So it only allows the father to sell her in a situation where the purchaser can marry her. If the purchaser can't marry her, if there's no shayichut of yi'ud, then there's no shayichut of mechira, because it's a package deal. So just like over there it's a package deal, that's what the Gemara is asking over here. We have over here two elements of a punishment on the rapist. When we have both elements, then this is the parsha. If one element is going to fall off, marriage is going to fall off because it's not permitted, then the fine, l'chora, should fall off as well. That's the question of the Gemara. I'd like you to look over here. I tried to give you all the time Mara Makomos, I'm sorry, in Rishonim, but there are, of course, many, many Achronim who write on our sugya. So, in other words, I'll try to give these out during the class, just that you should have there should be two sides of the page. There are two sides of the page. If you only have one side, I'll take it back. You should have a page with two sides. Okay, this is the one side. Okay, so if you see over here, I gave you three achronim, and I just want you to see what the books look like on the shelves. One is the Kovet Shiurim of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in a town called Branovitz, and he wrote two volumes, or it's been published in two volumes, of Kovet Shiurim, Kovet Sa'aros, three volumes actually, of beautiful, beautiful, very insightful chidushim on the sugyas in Shas. And in Kovet Shiurim, Chelek Aleph, he has a whole section on Ksuvis, and so you're welcome to look through it as we're learning. It goes according to the order of the Gemara. So in the Kovet Shiurim, that should be on one side of your page, he points out, he quotes the Tosfos at the end, and he says, V'kosha, I don't understand Tosfos. Ha'itzdirich kra le'mitzvah. V'tiretz v'shita v'kavanatam de lolich tov tihyeh. Ela b'loshon acher, v'i neima de parches hagemara dein lachay knas ela makom she'efshar lekayim hamitzvah v'lo tia liisha k'mo b'mechirat ama de boi she'tiru liyud im kein ein shum nafgimina be'ez aloshon yichtava hamitzvah v'tzarech lomar mishmuse de tia yalfina de binan she'tehei ba havaya. What the Kovachim over here is pointing out is exactly these two approaches. He says that Tosus makes no sense if we're going to learn like the Ritva. If we're going to learn like the Ritva, my nafgamina, what language the Torah uses? If it says, l'kachalisha, l'otiyelisha, who cares what language? Our issue is that we have an assumption that there's a package deal. There's a monetary fine, and there is a halachic requirement of getting married. That's the issue in the Gemara, similar to the world of Ama Ivriya and Yiud. It's a package deal. Tosos, however, is concerned with the language. He's concerned with Tihiyah. So what he points out, according to Tosfos, this is not working with the Ritva. The Ritva is learning one way, Tosfos is learning another way. The Rav Elchanan Wasserman, I don't think he saw the Ritva, I don't know if he had it in his time. He doesn't quote the Ritva, but he on his own posited there should be such an approach. There should be such an approach, which is not Tosfos. Tosfos is working off of the meaning of the word Tihiyah. The Ritva is working off of the concept of a package deal. So we have two ways of learning the question of the Gemara. Our Mishnah tells us that if we're dealing with a woman who you can't get married to, even though it's not going to be a marriage, there's going to be a knas. That's the Mishnah states. The Gemara asks, how is that possible? Either how is that possible conceptually, if we have two consequences, we should have a package deal, that's the Ritva, or how is that possible literally? The Torah over here says, Tihiyah. Tihiyah implies a miut, that we are limiting the case of the knas to a case where we have a permitted marriage. Right? In other words, these are two different ways of learning the question of the Gemara. Had the Torah, used a different phrase, would we still have had a question? Tosa says, had the Torah used a different phrase, there would have been no question. Question wouldn't have gotten off the ground. There'd be no need for a rebuy because there's no meal. Tosa says, but we're stuck. We need tehiya because of a halacha from left field in terms of the woman wanting the marriage. According to the Rishon, it has nothing to do with the language of the pasuk. It has to do with an assumption that whenever we have more than one factor, it's a package deal. That's why we need the ribuyim to tell us that our parsha is an exception to the rule. In our parsha, you can have one without the other. You can have one factor without the other factor. That's the way that the Ritva understands the Gemara. Okay, so the Ritva himself was aware of Tosos' Shita and says, don't learn like Tosos, learn like me. And Rav Elchanan Wasserman was aware theoretically that there should be two Shitos, there should be a Shita that would be a contra to Tosos, but he didn't necessarily see the Ritva, and so he just pointed out that such a Shita should theoretically exist. If you look on the page in the Tosos Rid, from his language, Umakshinan Amas Nisan, quotes the Gemara, Kari Kan Velotia Leisha, Isha Haru'uyelo, Perush. Perush over here means he's trying to explain to us what is the question of the Gemara. He doesn't say like Tosus the Perush that the word Tihia implies that we need a permitted marriage, or rather, Beisha Haru'uyelo Yiten Knas the Mekayim Ba Lotia Leisha. We need a package deal. We have to have a situation where both factors are shayach. Avo b'isha shein aruyelo, if the second factor can't be implemented, lo mekayim ba velo tia leisha gamen haknas yeh patur. This is exactly the way we learned the Ritva. Okay, so the Ritva and Tosus Rid are taking one approach, and the Meiri and Tosus by us are taking another approach. These approaches aren't, in other words, they're logical, two different logical ways of learning the sugya. Simply as a, in other words, what Noach brought up, the world of Asei Doche Lo Ta'ase, that is what the Ritva brings as the reason he does not want to learn the Gemara literally. Because we have a sugya later on, if you want to look together with me, we could look together on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Mem Amud Aleph asks the following question, three lines from the top of the page. Amar Rav Kahana, Amir Talo Shmaisesa Kameidu Rav Zvid Min Nahardoa. I explained the sugya in front of Rav Zvid of Nahardoa and asked the following question. Nesi Asei V'nitche Lo Ta'ase. We have over here a mitzvah asei called Veloti Yelisha. Let's assume that the woman who was raped was a mamzeret. You can't marry a mamzeret, but maybe the mitzvah asei, Veloti Yelisha, will override the mitzvah lo sa'aseh of not marrying a mamzeret. That we have a rule b'chol haTorah kula that asei doche lo ta'aseh. Maybe over here we should say that the Torah is telling us that we force the individual into a forbidden marriage. Maybe that's what it means. And so the answer was no. That when do we say this rule of asei doche lo ta'aseh, that's only when the mitzvah asei is universal. Kegon mila b'tzaras, lo efshel l'kiyum eilo asei, aval hachle y'amra d'lo b'ina mi'isa l'asei kal. Here the mitzvah asei, lo tia le'isha, is conditional. It depends on the woman's consent. It depends on her will. And so it's not a mitzvah asei that is under all conditions. Since it's not under all conditions, we don't apply the rule of asei doche lo ta'aseh. But the Ritva says this is a raya against Tosfos. Because how can our Gemara say, reading the Ritva inside, Holakaman parchinan behedya, leisi asei velotia leisha velitchi lav delo yeh mamzer. V'yem isa dehochi mash malushna dekra, hechi dochi le, adar mekayim le. If, according to Tosus, the word tihiyeh is telling us that this halacha only applies in a permitted marriage, so how did the question get off the ground? This pasuk is telling us that you only need that this marriage has to be a permitted marriage. How can you say leisi asei velitche lo ta'aseh? That's a forbidden marriage. Lo tia le'isha implies a permitted marriage. So you see, says the Ritva, we're not dealing over here with a diuk in the language of the Torah. That's not what we're talking about in our parasha. We're dealing over here with simply an assumption that we have a package deal. That we have a package deal. That's why, in other words, that tzugi v'asei docheloh ta'aseh overrides the possibility of viewing this as a diuk within the language of the Torah. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman brought the raya from Yiyud and Amma Ivriya. The Ritva brings the raya from the Gemara later on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that the Gemara assumes that we have over here an asay, get married under all conditions. If we're learning that Tihiyah is telling us, no, only get married if you have a permitted marriage, so how can you say asay dochalota asay? There's no asay. There's no asay in a forbidden marriage. That's what Tosa says. How did the Gemara over there get off the ground? That's what the Ritva points out. How does the Gemara over there get off the ground according to the way Tosus learns? Okay, in any case, these are the two ways of learning the Havamin of the Gemara. What does the Gemara answer according to both ways? Let's look at the Gemara. V'lo tia le'isha yishiruyela amar ish lakish. The first answer, na'ara, na'ara, ha-na'ara. Chad le'gufei, chad le'asuye chiyevei lavin, v'chad le'asuye chiyevei krisus. So, going back to our question, we have the word tihiyeh, which implies a mi'ut. So, according to what Rashi learns, we have over here a word na'ara, and we have over here a word ha-na'ara. So you have na'ara, you have over here na'ara, then we have the hey, ha-na'ara. So chad l'gufe, one to teach us the essence of the halacha, one to include chiyevei lavin, one to include chiyevei krisus, namely that two and three neutralize tihiyah. Tihiyah implies that a miut, it excludes forbidden marriages, and the extra na'ara, ha-na'ara, it could have simply said, "V'natan ha'isha shochev ima la'aviha," to her father. Why did it have to mention the na'ara a second time? Why does it have to mention ha-na'ara? In other words, with the hey ha-yediyah. So these include, or tell us, don't learn the miyut. In other words, we cancel the miyut. According to the Ritva, we had over here what appeared to be a package deal, comes along Na'ara, ha-na'ara, to tell us that the package deal is broken. Namely, that we have over here an exception to the rule. Classically, you're correct. When we have two factors, you need both. But since the Torah puts in this extra language, it overrides the general rule. It tells us that we have over here an exception. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who says that the three are all over here. We don't take this into account. But we take into account that the word is written in the Torah without a hey. Nun, ayin, resh. The hey is simply the way we read it. It's not written there. So the fact is that we have first, we read it as a hey, that's one. Then we have the fact that this word over here is extra. Then we have the hey. We have one, two, and three over here. Tosfos doesn't like it because why ignore this na'ara? What over here is the issue? What is the context of the first na'ara? What's the context of the second na'ara? We have two psukim over here. What's the first pasuk and what's the second pasuk? Ki imtza ish na'ara besula. Then the halacha is v'natan ha'ish ha-shochev. What's the first and the second? No, both of these psukim are dealing with ones, but rather, one pasuk is telling us about what? One pasuk is describing to us what aspect of the one telling us a story. The first pasuk is telling us what happened. The second pasuk is telling us, in this case that happened, where you have an individual who, in other words, who slept with a betula, who was not married, and did it by force, this is the halacha. So the question is, where are we going to be doresh? Are we going to be doresh only within the halachic context? Or are we going to be doresh also from the story itself, from the story? Rabbi Nochananel felt that the diukim had to be in the halacha, and Rashi felt that one can bring, Rashi and Tosfos felt that you can bring in the story as well as a in terms of counting the words that are necessary or not necessary. Okay, yes? Okay, let's continue. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, I have a different, I can neutralize the miut in a different manner. Or according to the Ritva, I can override the rule of the Torah that we have a package deal in a different manner. Besula, besulos, habesulos. Chad legufe, chad rasu yechieve lavin, chad rasu yechieve krisus. Where is this besula, besulos, habesulos found? In which parsha? Huh? We have two parshas in the Torah. We have a parsha in Devarim that deals with ones, deals with the rapist, and we have a parsha in Shmos that deals with the mafate, the seducer. In the seducer, we have the following: ki yafate ish besula asher lo orasa, that if we have an individual who seduces a besula who is not yet halachically married, v'shachavima, and he has relations with her, mahor yim harenu lo leisha, he should marry her. Im ma'ein yima'ein aviha latita lo, if the father of the girl, just reading Pshuto Shemikra, disagrees with this conclusion, disagrees with this option, then kesef yishkol kemoar habesulot. Then the seducer, kesef yishkol, should pay money kemoar habesulot. Here we have the word habesulot. What does this phrase mean, moar habesulot? How did Rav Papa learn that phrase? If you were writing your Aryeh Kaplan, you're writing your translation of the Torah, how are you going to translate Kemora Habesulot?
The money that you would pay.
For what? That's not Rav Papa. We'll see. Excellent, excellent. You're going to Yerushalmi. Kemora Habesulot. Look over here in Rashi. What does Rashi say? You know, it's Rashi tells us, you know, it's Kemoar Habesulos means the Chamishim of the Ones. And Kemoar Habesulos means this over here, that Yitain Ha'isha Shokhei Himalavi Anara Chamishim Kesef. That's Moar Habesulot. We have a Knas in the Torah relating to a rapist. We have over here that if we're not going to have a marriage in the case of the seducer, he's going to pay money, kemoar habesulot, like the fine of the psulot, the fine of the psulot is over here. Namely, moar habesulot, according to Rav Papa, relates to our fine. It's simply a way of summarizing our parsha. So if it relates to our fine, and we have a question, is our fine to every woman or only to a woman in a permitted marriage? So according to Rashi, we have over here the word vitula, one. We have over here an additional vitulot, and then we have the hei hayidia. So here we have the original halacha, and here we have the inclusion. The inclusion, we add in chiyuvei krisus and chiyuvei misas, chiyuvei lavin, to the world of, of chamishim kesef. That the chamishim kesef, which is moar habesulot, This is expanded. We contracted it, and now we expand it. Or, if you want to use the language of the Ritva, we thought that we had a package deal, and we're not going to have a knas in the case of a forbidden marriage because we have habesulot. So we're going now to have the knas, even though there won't be a marriage. Okay, so that's what we have over here in the sugya. So the Gemara asks, what's going on over here? Rav Papa, my time ago, Amar Kirish Lakish. Why did he have to wander over to the Pasuk in Shmos? Why didn't he simply use the drush of Nara Nara, which is in the parish of the Ones? Homi Bayre Chedabaye. Damar Abaye, Bo Aleha Umesa Patur, Shenemar Benasan Laviha Nara, Laviha Nara, Velo Lavi Meta. We have a halacha that the Knas is only paid to the father if the daughter is still alive. The father has to be the father of the Na'ara, not the father of the deceased. Rish Lakish, my time ago, Amar Kirav Papa. Why didn't he use the drasha of Papa, which is open territory, which is not used up by another halacha? Homi boile l'gzera shava. That we need that for a different source. The Tanya kesef yishkol kamor habesulot. sheizek amor habusulot amor busulot kaze. That we have, that we pointed out, that the knas which is paid by the mafateh, the kesef yishkol, this is the money paid by the mafateh, should be kit, similar to the money which is paid by the ones. But we have a lack of clarity over here and a lack of clarity over here. Over here there's no amount, and over here there's an amount, but it doesn't tell us in what currency. And so we compare the two. We say over here that the amount over here is the amount from over here, and the currency over here is the currency of the shekel, which is over here. That we need these psukim, the psula over here, and the besula over here, to tell us that we're going to compare these two. That which is missing here will fill in from here. That which is missing here will fill in from here. That's why we can't use the word besula. So what are we? We're sort of stuck. So Rish Lakish nami miboy lechadabai Rav Papa nami miboy lechzera shava. Neither of these drushot hold water. Both of them are needed for other purposes. Ella, we put it all together. Shita krai ktive. That we put all this together. We have the concept of ones mentioned twice in the Torah. It's mentioned in Sefer Dvarim and Kamor HaBesulot. It's mentioned in Sefer Shemot. Here we have three times extra words. Here we have three times extra words. And so we put it all together. That two of them we need for the halachot per se. Two of them for the other drashot, Xerashava and the father of the Besula, not the deceased, and we're still left with two for the Chiyeve Lavim and Chiyeve Krisus. Okay, that's what we have over here in the Sugya, and the Sugya points out V'lafuke mehaitana de Tanyalo, Lotia Leisha, Shimon Hatimni Omer Isha Shiesh Lahavaya, Rabbi Shimon Benasi Omer Isha Haruya Lekayima. There are two Tanoim quoted by one Brisa. Right, that's lafuka mehaitana. Tana is a singular language, even though we have over here two tanoim, Shimon HaTimni, Shimon ben Asi, they're both quoted in one brisa, that this brisa disagrees with our Mishnah. And it holds one of two things. According to the Ritva, it holds that we apply the rule of Chol Torah Kula. We have a package deal. When we have a permitted marriage, we have a knas. We don't have a permitted marriage, we don't have a knas. You know, it's that we don't learn all of these ribuyim that we learned previously. And according to Tosfos, we have over here a miut tiyeh comes to contract, and that remains la halacha. That when we have a permitted marriage, when we have tiyeh, then you have a knas. When there's no tiyeh, then there's no knas. Namely, that which we asked in the beginning, however you're going to learn it, like the Ritva, like Tosfos, that's what remains la halacha, according to Rav Shimon Manasseh and according to Shimon HaTimni. There's a difference in nuance in terms of what's called a permitted marriage. Is it a permitted marriage which uses the phrase Yesh Bahavaya or Roy Lekayma? That we'll get to when we get to the Sugya. I don't want to deal with that currently. That's what we have over here in the Bavli. What do we find in the Yerushalmi? The exact same question. The Gemara asks the exact same question. How do we have a knas in our Mishnah? We have a pasuk lo tiyeh le'isha. And again, you can learn the Yerushalmi like Tosfos. You can learn the Yerushalmi like the Ritva. Either we're being midayik in the language of the pasuk, or that we have over here our general principle, that we have a package deal. Either way, one can learn the question of the Yerushalmi. And then the Yerushalmi gives an answer which appears to be very familiar to us, just in a different name. We have over here in our Gemara the din of Rav Papa, Besula Habesulos, in whose name does the Yerushalmi mention this? Rish Lakish. Right? Rav Papa lived in Bavel, Rish Lakish lived in Eretz Yisrael. They both had a Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. They both looked at the Psukim. They came up with the same idea. But as opposed to our Gemara, which maintains Rav Papa, given with a little help from his colleague Rish Lakish, here in other words, there Rish Lakish is rejected. the Eretz Lakish is rejected. And this is what Avram pointed out earlier, that the Yerushalmi says that had Kamoar HaBesulot meant what the Bavlis thought it meant, it meant the Knas of Ones, had it meant that, then we would have had the word Besulot next to the word Kesef Yishkol. But rather, what does the phrase Kamoar HaBesulot mean? According to the Yerushalmi? It means ktubah. It means that if the father doesn't want to allow his daughter to marry the individual who seduced her, then kesef yishkol, he's going to get a knas. He's going to have to pay, the seducer is going to have to pay the father of the daughter. Kamoar habesulot. Just like any woman who gets married is going to get a ktubah, she's going to get a guarantee of a certain financial security. Kamoar habesulot. Any girl who is a betula is going to get such a moar, such a ketubah. You know, it's so also the father over here is going to get a fine. But it has nothing at all to do with the world of ones. Namely, according to the Bavli, this phrase, kamoar habesulot, is saying the amount that he will get will be the amount that a rapist would have paid the father of his victim, Kamoar HaBesulot. According to the Bat, to the Yerushalmi, had the Torah said, L'sita lo kesef yishkol besulot maharot, then it would have explained the pasuk of kesef yishkol, it would have made this comparison. However, when it says Kamoar HaBesulot, in this direction, it's dealing purely on the level of a ksuva, has nothing at all to do with the world of the Knas of Ones. It won't help us. So what then do we do? So the Gemara then brings in, as Noach pointed out, another opinion, that of Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira looks at the Pesukim and sees another phrase. What does Rav Zeira see? What phrase?
Ma'ein.
He sees over here that we have Ma'ein Yema'ein. Literally this means Ma'ein, if either the father or the daughter, in other words, who the father represents, don't want to allow the marriage, then there's going to be a fine. But it says ma'ein yema'ein, a double language. What else is included over here? This ma'ein is the father and the daughter. Who is this yema'ein?
Shamayim.
Shamayim, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow for the marriage, if we're dealing with a forbidden marriage, then there's still going to be a fine. So you see that we broke the package deal, according to the Ritva. You see that we were marbe, we included, even in a situation where there's no tihiyah, even a situation where there's not, where the marriage is forbidden, there's still going to be a fine. Even when the Torah says we're not going to allow this marriage, there's still going to be a fine. Everything is fine and good. But not everything is fine and good. Does this make sense to you? The Yerushalmi's drasha? No, here we're dealing with, our whole Gemara is dealing with the world of Ones. When you have a situation of a rapist, the Torah gives us two consequences, a fine and a marriage. And the question is, are these two interconnected or not, as Yitzhak pointed out? And so we try to bring ra'ayot, you can have one without the other. That was the whole purpose of our sugya. But this ma'ein yema'ein is not talking about the rapist, it's talking about a whole different parsha. Talking about the parsha of the Mefateh. When we dealt with the words Kamoar HaBesulot, we said that what will the Mefateh pay? He'll pay similar to what a rapist would have paid. But now we're not dealing with those words, we're dealing with the phrase Ma'ein Yema'ein, that we were saying that in the world of the Mefateh, generally there's going to be a marriage, but if this marriage is not going to come through because the father or the daughter or HaKadosh Baruch Hu disagree, then there's going to be a fine. Maybe that applies to the parasha of Mefateh, but not to the parasha of Ones. These are two different worlds. In the parasha of Ones, right, we have a situation of a rape. So then the Torah says we have a double consequence. Fine and marriage. This marriage is an imposed marriage, boom. In a situation of the Mefateh, so we offer a marriage. But in this situation, the seducer could say, I don't want to marry her, I'll pay the money. We don't find that option over here. This is a lo tia leisha. Here you have to marry her. Here, this is, in other words, here, this is a whole different parsha, that in the world of the pitui, everyone has to agree. If everyone agrees that the, that there'll be a marriage, the father, the daughter, and the mefateh, so they'll go under the chuppah. If not, then there's going to be a knas. What in the world does A have to do with B? This is apples and oranges. How could the Gemara bring a raya, one from the other? The Yerushalmi l'chor is very difficult. As long as we were working with the phrase k'mor ha-mesuvot, we can explain that this phrase relates to the knas of ones. And then we have over here six words relating to the knas of ones. Wonderful, fine. The moment that the Yerushalmi says, no, we can't use these words, because these words relate to ksuva, nothing to do with the knas of ones, and they move to something else, then we're in the parash of mefateh. Mefateh and ones, l'chora, are two parashiyot. That's question number one, question on the Yerushalmi. How did the Yerushalmi understand that because we have in the parasha of Ones, I'm sorry, in the parasha of Mefateh, that if there's not going to be a marriage halachically, there's going to be a knas, how does it tell us that in the parasha of Ones, if there's not going to be a marriage halachically, there's going to be a knas? It's a whole different world of marriage. Here we're dealing with a forced marriage. Here we're dealing with a consensual marriage. Maybe a consensual marriage, if it's not going to be halachic, then we're going to have a knas. But who says that we're going to have that same relationship with a forced marriage? Let's put the Yerushalmi on the side a minute. We also have a difficult Rambam. The Rambam summarizes the halachos of Ones u'Mefateh both in his Sefer HaMitzvos and in his koteret, in his heading to the world of Hilchos Na'ara B'Suvah. What does the Rambam bring from all of this? And what is glaringly missing? What does Rambam bring? So he has two mitzvot asay and one mitzvot lo ta'asay. Right? What does Rambam bring?
Knas of mefateh.
Knas of mefateh.
The need to marry the me'ani. The me'ani is to marry.
Lo tihiye le'isha of the ones. And?
They can't divorce her.
Lo yuchal le'shalcha of the ones. What is glaringly missing? What happened to the knas of over here? Minosa lavia na'ara hamishim kasev. What happened to this line? Why isn't that brought also in Sefer HaMitzvos? Why isn't it brought in the heading? Why do we bring in the knas of mefateh and not bring in the knas of ones? What could be the answer to both of our questions? I mean, I built the shir in a way that we have a difficult Yerushalmi, and we have a difficult Rambam. What could we possibly say that would explain everything? Yes?
They go hand in hand,
right, that the Rambam over here is building his construct of Hilchos Na'ara B'Suvah on the Yerushalmi. He's building on the Yerushalmi. It's not a question, we have a question on the Rambam and a question on the Yerushalmi. We just have to think out of the box. Maybe over here, what the Rambam is pointing out is that the Yerushalmi is the source of his construct. What does that mean to say the source of his construct? How did the Rambam understand the world of Knas within Mefateh and Ones? Are these two different worlds, the way we asked previously?
No.
No, but rather, we have, according to the Rambam, one din, that a Shochev im Bitulah, that a person who has intimate relations with a betulah, what is the consequence of that act? Knas. What are two ways of being shochev in betulah? Either beritzona, when she's an active party, or ba'al korcha, or it's forced upon her. What do we call ritzona? Mifateh. What do we call ba'al korcha? Ones. Namely, that we have over here one knas. The knas of the mefateh is the knas of someone who sleeps with a betulah. That's the knas. It's irrelevant whether it's biritzona or baal karcha. We have a knas. In addition, by an ones, we have an imposed marriage. To the degree that if he decides to divorce her, we're going to bring him back into the picture. Lo yuchal l'shalcha. But the knas is one and the same. This is not what I'm making up, but who says it's black and white? The Rambam. The Rambam himself. This is the Rambam in the Halachos, in Perek Aleph, of Hilchos Nara Besula, Halacha Aleph. Our whole question was on what the Rambam brought in the... Our whole question is in terms of what the Rambam brought in the Koteret, in the heading. But within the Halachos, the Rambam explains everything black and white. And he says, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Misha Pita Betula, Konsim Oso Mishkal Chamishim Solam Shal Kesef Mezukak, Hu Nikra Knas. V'chein, similarly, Im Onas Osa, he also going to pay that exact same fine. Uknase mitzvata seishel Torah, shenemar benasana isha shokhevima lavia nara chamishim kasef. The Rambam brings in pitui, brings in ones, and then brings one pasuk. How can you bring one pasuk? We're dealing with two totally different fines. No, this is all one fine. It's not just that we have two fines that happen to be similar in amount. We're dealing with one fine. Ezehu mefate, ezehu ones. The only difference in ones and mefate is whether we're dealing miritzona or ba'al karcha. There is one distinction between the ones and the mefate. Namely, under all circumstances, you have a fine hanging over the head of the man. But what if the man was a seducer, mefate, and he agrees to marry the girl, then the knas falls off. That's the only difference. Namely, that but other than that, but the knas is that which is above the head of the bo'el. It's above the head of the man who is intimate. Just that in a case of pitui, if he decides to take a track of taking this woman who he had seduced and marrying her, then the knas will fall off. But if he doesn't marry her, he has to pay the knas. In the ones, even if he marries her, he has to pay the knas. But it's one knas. And that's why we have in the Rambam, he mentions the knas. He mentions pitui because it comes earlier in the Torah. It's simply in Sefer Shmos, so it's already found. But it's the same knas, both by pitui and by ones. How did the Rambam know that? Maybe these are two totally different parashiyot. What's the source of the Rambam? No, we said a minute ago. The Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is the one who learns out ones from pitui. From ma'ein yema'ein, it learns to the din of kesef yishkol. So you see, the Yerushalmi is making this comparison. The Rambam over here is simply taking the Yerushalmi and bringing it halacha l'maaseh. He's taking the Yerushalmi, the ma'ein yema'ein, and says, oh, I see that the knas of mefata and the knas of ones are one and the same, because Yerushalmi learns from the fact that over here, when we have the Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying we don't allow the marriage, we're still going to have the knas. So also over here, if we don't allow the marriage, we're still going to have the knas. How can you compare apples and oranges? You can't. But if it's apples and apples, then you can compare them. So the Rambam understands from the Yerushalmi, we have over here apples and apples. Okay? Yes.
So Rabbi Yehuda said imply that the main mitzvah by Mifata is the knas and not the marriage.
The marriage is an option, according to the Rambam, to exempt an individual from the knas. Exactly. Exactly. That's what comes out according to the Rambam. And this marriage has to be agreed to by four people. By the seducer, by the father, by the daughter, and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? In other words, that if we have a marriage that's agreed to by those four parties, then there's not going to be a knas over here. That's the difference between these two parashiyos. But the real, but what's more important over here, according to the Rambam, is that which is in common between the parashiyos, that we have a knas. And then, within the world of ones, on top of that, we have a forced marriage and we have a permanent marriage. Masha'en Kain, in the world of Mefata, this marriage is a regular marriage. It's a marriage with the ksuva. If the two of them get together, wonderful. If they decide to get divorced, they'll get divorced, but then there's no knas, there's no forced marriage, yes?
The psukim seem to suggest like that the main mitzvah is, it says, V'chei fati ish betula shelo orasav shechavimah, And the first thing it says, Mahori Marenalo, Leisha. It seems like the main thing is really the marriage. And if for some reason you happen to refuse, Iman Yuma Enabi Alizalo.
The difference is as follows. Let me explain it to you. This is a suggestion, which in other words, when this case comes in front of court, what do we do with this situation? The court makes a suggestion. Why don't you get married? Right? In other words, you seduced this girl, you loved her, she agreed, she loves you, get married, and then everything is fine. But if we don't have his agreement, her agreement, father's agreement, God's agreement, then we have a halacha, right? Then kesef yishkol kamor habesulos. This is what the Torah is obligating. This is not obligated by the Torah. This is a suggestion. The suggestion is, it would make sense. And there's a famous story in the Medrash by Alexander the Great. That Alexander the Great once went traveling. We know Alexander the Great traveled a lot in a short lifetime. And he once traveled beyond the Hari HaChoshech, beyond the mountains to a society where he had never been previously. And he stood to watch how the king in that society judges cases. And so a case came before the king in where you have two individuals who had a fight. That one individual had sold the other individual a plot of land. And the purchaser dug in the plot of land and he found a treasure. The person who is the purchaser claimed, this is not my treasure. I bought a plot of land, not a treasure. And the seller claimed, look, I sold you the plot of land which is with everything inside of it, including the treasure. That was the case that came before the king. And so the king asked one side, do you have a son? He said, yeah. Yes, he said, do you have a daughter? He said, yeah. So he said, so have your son marry his daughter and we'll give them the treasure as a dowry and everyone will live happily ever after. Anyway, Alexander the Great was totally, was taken aback. And so the king asked Alexander the Great, how would you have judged in that case? He said, if such two idiots came in front of me, so I would have taken the treasure and killed both of them. And so the king of this country was a little taken aback and asked if it rained in the country. He said, Alexander the Great. When Alexander the Great said it rained, so he said, well, do you have animals? He says, probably because of the animals it rains, not because of the human beings who live in that place. In any case, it's brought in Rav Dessler's Kuntres HaChesed. In other words, sometimes you have an Eitzah. Let's set up a marriage, and then we don't have to worry any longer about who's right, who's wrong, about fines, about etc. So over here, Mahari Amarena Leisha, that would be the Eitzah of the Torah, the Eitzah of Bezdin. However, if this Eitzah is disagreed by the seducer, by the father, by the daughter, or by God, any of those four can knock off this wonderful arrangement, then we have the Knas of Mefata. Okay.
It also makes sense because of the way the psukim are broken up. It's like the story and the halacha.
Okay, now remember that in both of them, the first part you have the story, the second one you have the halacha. So right. You're correct that the Mahor Yimareno is part of the story. That would be, but it's not part of the obligation. It's not listed here on top because it's not part of the of that which the Torah is imposing. Okay. I photostated for you two more achronim. Again, that you should be familiar with. One is the sefer called Afik HaYam. It was written by a student of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Many, many topics that are covered from all over Shas in a very clear and concise manner. And the other, there is a Rav Sadia Gaon, who is pre-Rishonim, right? The Tkufa of the Gaonim, wrote a sefer HaMitzvot. This precedes the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, precedes the Sefer HaMitzvos. This is parallel to the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Bahag, the Bahag Ochos Gedolos. I mean, from the Tkufa of the Gaonim, we have two Sefer HaMitzvos. The order of Rav Sadia Gaon is that he divided mitzvos into two categories, personal mitzvos and communal mitzvos. And those are the, and then within the personal and within the communal, you have Aseh and Lo Taaseh. So the Sefer itself is a relatively small Sefer, but it's three volumes because it was put out by a Talmud Chacham who is astounding in terms of his breadth and depth. And he wrote a Sefer his name was Rav Perla, Rav Yerucham Perla, wrote the Perush on the Sefer HaMitzvos, which just goes for pages upon pages before you even get to the next mitzvah. So these two, both the Afik HaYam and Rav Perla, raise the following hakir. we have in the Torah two concepts. We have a concept of an onesh, and we have a concept of a mitzvah. And so they basically both ask, here in the world of ones, we have a that which we would certainly call an onesh, a punishment, a fine, and then we have a pasuk lo tiyeh le'isha, and he has to marry her. Are we going to call that a mitzvah, or are we going to call that also an onesh? Namely, the difference is as follows. If it's a onesh, then the burden is on the shoftim v'shotrim to see that it is fulfilled. If it is a mitzvah is on an individual, not on the court, but on an individual. So they had a question, how do we view this combination of a fine and a forced marriage? Do we have over here an onesh and a mitzvah, or do we have an onesh and an onesh? Where, in other words, on one hand, one can say that these are two different worlds. In other words, that this is the court is going to enforce a fine, and then the person has a mitzvah to marry the woman to do like kapara, to atone for his act of being a rapist, to marry her and to live with her forever after, to realize that he shouldn't view her as simply just a thing, an object, but rather she's a person, and he has to relate to her as a person, etc., etc. Or do we say no, that we have over here a double onesh? So the Rav Perla wants to be medayik from the language of the pasuk. V'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev ima lavi ha'narach ha'mishim kasev v'lo tiyev le'isha tachas asher ina. And then we have mitzvah lo taseh lo yuchal v'shalcha kol yamav. Tachas asher ina implies implies that we want to punish him because he forcibly forced himself upon a woman. Where would we expect this to be found, these three words?
Really above.
He could have said, the fact that we have Natan Chamishim Kesef V'lo Tiyeh Le'isha Tachat Asher Ina would imply what?
They're both
right. So in the page that I photostated for you, this is the question was on the bottom over here. Say from this is Orif Perla writing over here in the bottom of the right hand column. L'chori Yesh Lavi Ra'aya, the Gamay Dekasev Rachmano Lo Tiyeh Le'isha Mishum Knasahu, and he brings a Ra'aya from. We'll come to it in a minute, and then towards the bottom of the left hand column, he mentions this concept of tachat asher ina. Look at the language of the Rambam, or listen to the language of the Rambam in the three mitzvos. This mitzvah is liknos hamafateh, and this mitzvah is lo tihiyah leisha. Right? Liknos hamafateh. She yisa ha'ones hanusaso. Sorry, we'll just write it the way the Rambam has it. She yisa. Who is the Rambam referring to? Who is Rambam talking to over here? Liknos hamefateh. To Bezdin. Bezdin has a chiyuv to impose a fine on the mefateh, and we include it over here. Veha ones. Right? It's one fine. It's the same fine. Bezdin has the responsibility of imposing a fine on someone who is intimate with a betula. Sheisa ha'ones et anusato, on whom, who does that relate to? Who is the Torah talking to? To the ma'anis, to the person, to the rapist. Namely, that this is an onesh, which is on Bezdin, liknos ha'mefateh, and the second one is a mitzvah. We have an onesh and a mitzvah. Within we learned the sugya. The sugya had a havamina and had a maskana. The havamina was that we have a package deal, that we have a miut, that only when you have a permitted marriage do you have a fine. The maskana is that these are separated. Namely, you can have the fine under all circumstances. The marriage depends as to whether it's permitted or not. What appears in the havamina, what appears in the maskana in terms of our question? What was the havamina of the Gemara, and what is the maskana of the Gemara? The havamina, that you have a package deal, would fit in smoother according to which approach? Again, our question is, the knas certainly is an onesh. Our question is lo tia l'isha an onesh, or is lo tia l'isha a mitzvah? In the havamina of the Gemara, that according to the Ritva we have a rule, whenever you have two things, it's a package deal. According to Tosfos, we have a miut, that only when this is going to be a permitted marriage are we going to have a fine. That havamina would fit in smoothly according to which approach?
They're both onshim.
That they're both onshim, right? That's apples and apples, so we can combine them, right? That and that's what's pointed out, tachas asher ina. Tachas asher ina would seem to imply that they're both on the same level. Kamashmalan, what's the maskana of the Gemara? That's what the Rambam is bringing. This is an onesh, and this is a mitzvah. Namely, they're two totally separate things. The onesh is going to be under all circumstances. The mitzvah is going to be where it applies. If we're dealing with a forbidden marriage, there's going to be a knas, there's going to be an onesh, but there's not going to be a mitzvah. Namely, that the question which is raised both by the Afikayam and by Rav Perlo, I'm sorry, I didn't read to you the Afikayam, but if you see over here in the bottom of the right-hand column where you have the base, Nistapakti b'chiyuv lo tiyev go yuchal lo shalcha ba'ones, etc. Imu geder knas, right, etc. Or is it a geder of imchayev ba'aseh v'lo taseh, or a geder of a mitzvah? So what comes out is that in our question, it would depend. According to the Mishnah, the bottom line is we can have a separation between the fine and the marriage. We could view the fine as an onesh and the marriage as a mitzvah. According to Rav Shimon ben Menasseh and Rav Shimon HaTimni, that these remain halacha l'maisa related to one to the other, could be that they view it as an onesh and an onesh. And again, you can learn it in either direction, but it appears that the Rambam's maskana is working off of our maskana. The maskana of Yerushalmi, the maskana of the Bavli, that we have a separation. It's not. This is an exception to the rule. This is not a package deal. According to the Havamin of the Gemara, which is the maskana of the Braisa of Rav Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon ben Asya, then it would fit in smoother for it to be an onesh and an onesh. Tachas asherina would apply to both of these. Okay, in any case, they each have pages upon pages of proofs back and forth, but I'm just pointing out that from a conceptual standpoint, one can link it over here with the Havamin and the maskana. Any questions? Yes.
It's a little hard pressed. I don't know. Personally, I find it hard pressed to say that the havamina is the fact that they're interdependent, and the maskana is that they're not interdependent. Why can't you just say that the havamina is that they're both interdependent, and the maskana is that we also have other exceptions because we have a riboy?
Again, you're 100% correct that I have a penchant for conceptual distinctions as opposed to Gzeres HaKosov. And therefore, I was looking, when I learned Tosfos, I was looking for a Ritva who would disagree with Tosfos and learn it on a conceptual plane of a package deal or not a package deal, as opposed to questions of Ribui and Miut. But even when you have a Gzeres HaKosov, even when you're dealing with the level of Ribui and Miut, you could still look for something that would underlie the Ribui and the Miut. So when we have the Miut, that would tend to link them. When you have the Riboy, that would tend to separate them. But you're 100% correct. You can learn it purely on the level of Zeras HaKosov without getting involved in any concept of interdependence or dependence. Namely, within Tosfos and the Meiri, you don't necessarily have to say what we pointed out. Within the Ritva and the Tosfos Rid, that we're dealing over here with, is it a package deal or are we dealing with two independent factors, then it fits in neither if we're able to deal with them in the Havamina, that they're both on the level of Onesh, and in the Maskana of the Gemara, we break it up into an Onesh and a Mitzvah.
So the fact that it says an extra Nara, so therefore we're changing the status of the connection between the two?
Yeah, we're saying that this is an exception to the rule. Even though B'chol HaTorah Kula, we would view it as a package deal, because the Torah goes out of its way to add in these words which are really unnecessary. Could have simply said Natan Vashokevi Ma La'aviha. This whole phrase over here is unnecessary. Over here it could said Tita Lo Kesef Yishkol Ke Mohar, without the word Bisulos at all, that the Torah is telling us to review this through more conceptual eyes, and to realize that we are changing the ground rules in our situation from what we had thought originally. But again, in other words, I don't want you to think that I am saying things that haven't been said earlier. The Afi Kayam talks about this, Rav Perlow speaks about this, the Rav Elchanan Vassman. I'm just trying to perhaps put it together in a manner where I hope it would be a bit clearer than sometimes can come out from their writings. Where we're going to be moving to is, now that we've seen the rules, now let's get back to the details. And we pointed out that when we're dealing with that first category of Eilu Na'aros, go back to Kaftas Emeralo, Sheishlem Knas, Abala Mamzeres on the scene of Alakutit. So Mamzeret, that's a classic Isurei Lav. One's not allowed to marry a Mamzeret. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Mamzer lo yavo b'kal Hashem. If someone marries a Mamzeret, halacha is that they're married. The marriage is tofes, but they're living in sin. Like if a Kohen would marry a Grusha. So they're married, but they shouldn't be married. So we're saying is that in this situation, if we have someone who raped a Mamzeret, there, even though there's not going to be a marriage, because it's a forbidden marriage, but b'cholzot there's going to be a knas. Netina and kutit are two much more problematic categories. The netina is the descendant of the Chivi nation, one of the seven nations that were conquered by Klal Yisrael in Eretz Canaan, were the Chivi. And the Chivi, there was a town called Giv'on, and these Giv'onim made peace rather than fight. And their descendants, I sent you to the relevant material in Sefer Yoshua, became the water carriers and the woodcutters for Klal Yisrael. What exactly are we're talking over here, Lechora, about a woman who came from such a background, but she's converted, and she for some reason is not allowed to marry a Jew. She would be, but what is exactly the basis that she can't get married? A convert generally can get married. Why over here should this Tina not be able to get married? The Kutit is also problematic. These, when the 10 tribes were taken in exile by Sancheiriv, so Goyim were brought in to fill in their land, many of them from a land called Kuta. And once they came to Eretz Yisrael, they began to be eaten up by lions, and they decided it's because that they were not taking upon themselves the religion of the land, and they converted. And there's a whole issue as to whether their conversion was valid, was not valid, etc. What are we talking about over here? What exactly is the status? If we're talking about that they're not Jewish, so lechora, that's not that. Then that marriage wouldn't get off the ground. In other words, it's not as though we'd have a marriage that is similar to the mamzeret. That's a marriage that simply there would be no, the marriage wouldn't even start. So we're going to deal with these two issues separately, the netina and the kutit. So the page that I either gave you in the base medrash or it's in my box deals with the world of the netina. What we're going to see is that there is sugyas in yavamos that are not too far from one another, sach hakol, too daffin from one another, but appear to contradict themselves in terms of their conclusions. And then the question is, how do we paskin? We're going to see a machokas rishonim, some five shitot, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Ramban, Rabbeinu Avram ben David, the Meiri. And then how does all that impact in our Mishnah, which is over here, the Rashi in our Mishnah, and this Tosfos, which quotes many sources, and you should go through it step by step. If you have any questions, please ask myself, ask Rav Eliav. Just be aware, I'm sorry for going a little overtime, almost overtime, just be aware that the Torah tells us, lo titchatein bam, you're not allowed to marry a member of the seven nations. If we ask ourselves, what are we speaking about? Before they convert, after they convert, then we have a din of lo yeh kadesh b'bnei Yisrael, that you're not allowed to marry an eved, you're not allowed to marry someone who has a status of a slave. What are the implications over here on a Daraisa plane, on a Drabanan plane? That's what we're going to talk about, Bli Neder, on Yom Shlishi. Okay? And then Bli Neder on Yom Revi'i, on Wednesday. And the following Sunday, we'll deal with the Kutit. That will be a separate topic. Okay, Bahatzlacha.